We're going to come now to the reading of God's Word, and that can be found in the book of Judges, chapter 17. I had been tempted to finish Judges and do 17 to 22, but thought probably shouldn't. So we're going to read now this intriguing little story about this guy called Micah. This comes just after Samson. So this is page 261 of your pew Bibles. This is the Word of God. Judges chapter 17, verse 1. Now a man named Micah from the hill country of Ephraim said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and about which I heard you utter a curse, I have that silver with me. I took it." Then his mother said, "The Lord bless you, my son." When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, she said, "I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord for my son to make a carved image and cast an idol. I will give it back to you." So he returned the silver to his mother, and she took 200 shekels of silver and gave it to a silversmith who made them into the image of an idol. And they were put in Micah's house. Now, this man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and some idols, and installed one of his sons as his priest. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. A young Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, who had been living with the clan of Judah, left that town and searched for some other place to stay. On his way, he came to Micah's house in the hill country of Ephraim. Micah asked him, "Where are you from?" "I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah," he said, "and I am looking for a place to stay." Then Micah said to him, "Live with me and be my father and priest, and I'll give you 10 shekels of silver a year, your clothes and your food." So the Levite agreed to live with him, and the young man was to him like one of his sons. Then Micah installed the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in his house. And Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me since this Levite has become my priest." Amen, and may the Lord bless and challenge us with the reading of his word. In this series, we have seen how the flawed judges got progressively worse. The people also continually turned from God to idols, getting further and further away from God. At the end of Judges, they are just the people of God in name only. In the last verse of the book of Judges, we see the problem of this time. It says in chapter 21, verse 25, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." That's from the ESV. Tonight, these are also the words that we find in the middle of that short passage we just read. And it gives us a picture of what was happening with the flawed people and the flawed priests of God at that time. Throughout this story, we see the people are doing what is right in their own eyes and not in God's eyes. In general, we all do right. We like to do the right thing. Doing right is important to each and every one of us, I am sure. If you were to ask me, what is the biggest problem in the world? My answer to you would be something like this. It's people doing right. You see, as Richard in the summer and as Norman last week reminded us, we live in a post-truth world. So therefore, doing right is now a subjective thing. It is subjective to the individual. There is no absolute truth. To help us think about this, I was reading through an article in the Gospel Coalition website, which I'm going to quote from. It says, it's entitled, "How Youth Like Me Learn Expressive Individualism," which is an intriguing title. But this article is aimed at helping us to understand young people. But I think that it is relevant to anybody who consumes media. This is relevant to all of us, how we are influenced by the world around us. This is what it says. Kids today are growing up in a compulsively connected world. Of course, such connectivity comes at a cost. Much of this information is pumped out by an agenda-driven media with a message of their own, a message that sounds good and nice even, but is inherently poisonous. It is becoming louder, stronger, and constant, and young people, and I would say all of us, are drinking it in. It is the message of expressive individualism, the belief, Tim Keller explains, that identity comes through self-expression, through discovering one's most authentic desires and being free to be one's authentic self. This is the follow your heart, believe in yourself, chase your dreams, Disney, Hallmark, MTV gospel. It is the catechism of our culture. It is what our youth are learning, that you are the creator of your identity. You are free, even obliged, to be whomever or whatever makes you feel good. No one else matters. Doesn't matter what anyone else says. Basically, we are free to define what is right for us, which is what Micah, his mother, and this Levite did. And this is also the reality of the world we live in as Christians. Therefore, it is vitally important that we realize that most of the outside influences upon our lives are pushing us to do the right thing in our own eyes and stuff everyone else and everything else. Add to this our own natural selfish desires. This means that it is hard to be a Christian today. Even though we believe in who Jesus is and in what he did and he won for us on and through the cross, we still find it hard to do what is right in God's eyes. And often, if we are honest, many times we do what is right in our own eyes. But how did this all happen? The root of the problem in our society and in the time of Judges was that they had forgotten the Creator, the Lord God. Quick Bible question for you, which Keith is not allowed to answer. Nor Norman, actually, sorry. What is the first commandment? What's the first commandment? And remember, I have bad hearing, so you need to shout it out. Oh, that's catechism. Well done, but. And you mumbled that. You shall have no other gods before me. In Hebrew thought, that's actually the second commandment. In the Hebrew Ten Commandments, that's the second commandment. The first is found before it in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. It says, God says, I am the Lord your God. Hebrews take that as being the first commandment. We tend to think of it as a statement, but think about the wonderful logic here. Until we are really willing to accept that Yahweh, that the Lord is our God, we are not likely to obey the rest of his commands. The Lord is calling us to obey the glorious truth that he is our God. As Christians, we accept and we obey this, that God is our God. So for us as Christians, it is our desire to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord and not what is right in our own eyes, which we so easily slip into. And I said it's so hard to actually do this. So let us learn very quickly from the warnings of the flawed people that we find in Judges chapter 17. Flawed people do right in their own eyes because they fail to keep the law. Because Micah had forgotten about God, he failed to keep the law of God. The law of God calls us to be selfless, to worship God first and to put others before ourselves. It is the backbone of a good society. It helps us to do right in God's eyes and not in our own eyes. As we fail to keep God's laws, we start to do right in our own eyes. At the start, Micah broke the eighth commandment he stole from his mother. And this shows us that he did what was right in his own eyes. He selfishly saw his mom had money and he took it. He pleased himself regardless of what the law said or the consequences for his mother. And the first sign that we are doing right in our own eyes is that we don't obey or keep the laws of God. We are to be a holy people, living for God under his laws. Take the example of God calling us to purity, to be a pure people. How many Christians struggle with this? Sexual freedom is the call of the world. And so many Christians just go with it, purposely failing to keep the law because, in all honesty, they just want to do what is right in their eyes. We then see that a flawed people do what is right in their own eyes. Whoa, that all came up at once. There you go. Because they fail to give God what they promised. Because Micah's mother had forgotten about God. She, when she got the silver back, she was happy. She was so happy that she said that she was going to give it back to the Lord. But we know that she only gave less than 20% of it back. She made a bold statement, but her actions were something totally different. Another sign that we are doing right in our own eyes is that we don't give to the Lord what we promise. Be that our money, our time, our service. Each of us can make great promises in church, but are they actually working out in reality? We say, for example, we are going to give a certain percentage of our money to God for his work. We're going to tithe, but we have the fancy holiday we want to go on in the summer or that new car that we want to buy, so we give less to God, saying that, hey, it's a numbered system. Nobody will know, but God does. We do what is right in our own eyes. And then we see that a flawed people do right in their own eyes because they build and bow to idols. Because Micah and his mother had forgotten about God, they built idols. They created a shrine in his house. And this was breaking that second commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not create an idol. This was the ultimate insult to God. They built the shrine and installed Micah's son at the start as the priest, totally against God. This was worship that suited them and pleased them, but not God. Another sign that we are doing right in our own eyes is that we put up idols in our lives and then we bow down to them. Things that we put above and before God. Someone said that everyone worships something. And this is so true in our world. It worships power, money, sex, celebrity. And if these things please us more than God, then we are bowing to them and not to God. We are doing right in our own eyes. Then we see that a flawed people use God's name vainly. Because Micah and his mother had forgotten about God, they used the name of God vainly. We see this at the end of the chapter. Now I know that the Lord will be good to me since this Levi has become my priest. Micah vainly thought that God was good to him. Several times through the passage we see them calling the name of the Lord. That was good to him and had blessed him, even though everything he had done up until that point was against God. If you read the next chapter, you will see that everything in that chapter was taken away from him. Micah was actually punished by God. Another sign that we are doing right in our own eyes is that even though we are living lives that fail to acknowledge God, fail to give to God what we say we will, fail to keep his laws, bow down to idols, then something good happens, and we will vainly say, and I hear many people saying this, that God is good to me, God is good to us. God does not bless us when we are doing right in our own eyes. Yes, for a while things may go well, but we need to remember that when God judges, when Jesus returns, then we will see just how vain those utterings were. In this passage, we can also learn from the priests. Flawed priests do right in their own eyes because they feel to be in the right place, so they wander around aimlessly. This Levite, he had forgotten about God. He wasn't in the right place. He was wandering, looking for a place to stay. He had lost his purpose. He should have been serving God and helping the people of God to worship God, but he wasn't. Another sign that we are doing right in our own eyes is that we fail to be in the right place. And for us, that's the church. The church where we are committed, where we serve and where we worship God, fulfilling our purpose. So many wander aimlessly from church to church, never settling and committing to a fellowship. And mostly this is because they're just looking for things to be done their way, looking for it all their way. Doing what is right in their own eyes and not in God. And then we see flawed priests do right in their own eyes because they fail to confront false worship so they conform. Because this Levite had forgotten about God, he failed to confront the false worship he saw. When he arrived at Micah's house, what should he have done? He should have seen the false worship. He should have confronted it. He should have tore down those idols and then told Micah, his mother, and his sons about the Lord God and all that God had done for them and why he should follow God. But he didn't. He just went with it. And he conformed, taking the nice, easy life. He was going to get some money. It wasn't going to be too stressful, somewhere to stay. Another sign that we are doing right in our own eyes is that we don't confront the false worship that we see around us. Stuff that I've already mentioned. All the things that and the idols that the world hold up. Maybe it's because we're scared. Maybe it's because we want an easy life. But the result is that it is easy for us to conform to them if we do not confront them, doing right in our own eyes. And then we are no longer the radically distinct people of God, but just the people of God in name alone. As we do right in God's eyes, we do not conform, but we confront the evil of the world, tearing down the idols and telling them all about all that Jesus has done for them, the good news of the love of Jesus. As Christians, we believe in our Creator God and His work of salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus. And because we believe this, we are Jesus' disciples in this world, seeking to make more disciples as we witness to the love of Jesus in the world, living radical lives for Jesus, seeking to save the world, to save them from doing what is right in their own eyes, which leads to the punishment of hell, to living lives that do right in God's eyes, that lead to salvation and the blessings of heaven. So let us have a look at our lives and ensure that there are no areas where we're slipping up, where we're failing, where we're actually going our own way. And let us ensure that we are a people who do right in God's eyes. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you as just that, our Father in heaven, our Lord God, the Creator of all things. Lord, you sent your Son Jesus to this earth for us, to sacrifice for us so that we could be your people. Lord, we pray that as your people, we will live doing right in your eyes. Where we are tempted, Lord, to do right in our own eyes, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, convict us and change us. Help us to confess and to repent, turning back to you. Lord, help us to be a people who keep your laws, who love your word, who love learning how you want us to live and live that way. And Lord, for those things that we promise to give you, Lord, help us to do that, to give to you cheerfully and joyfully, because you have given and sacrificed so much for us. And Lord, we do pray that any idols in our lives, as we have prayed many times, Lord, that you will destroy them, that you will rip them out of our lives so that we look only upon you and not upon them. Let us bow to you and no other. And Lord, let us use your name in power and not vainly. Let us call upon your name and let us speak out the blessings as well. Lord, let us be a people who glorify you and thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, let us not conform, but let us confront all of the falseness of this world that seeks us to follow our own desires. Let us live lives for you, for your glory, as we make disciples for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.